Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Christ, the Church, and Serious Conversation. And this is part two of a book review that I am doing on a book by Apostle John Eckhart. And the title of that book is Prayers That Rout Demons. Prayers That Rout Demons. And this book was sent to me way back in late March of this year by a wonderful couple in Woodside, California, and they asked me to do this book review. They were suspect about the book. They were suspect about the teaching, and with great reason. And before we can actually review the book, before we can actually get into the book and break the book down, what I like to do with a book review is I like to talk about the author. The author. Who's the author? Now, many times when you buy a book, on the back cover of the book, there's like a mini bio, a biographical sketch, if you will, about the author. Well, it says here, Apostle John Eckhart is overseer of Crusader Ministries, located in Chicago, Illinois. Gifted with a strong apostolic call, he has ministered throughout the United States and overseas in more than 70 nations. He is a sought-after international conference speaker, has authored more than 20 books, and produces a daily radio broadcast. His television program, Perfecting the Saints, is seen weekly throughout the United States on the Word Network. Eckhart resides in the Chicago area with his wife, Wanda, and his five children. Well, I have no doubt that he's married, that his wife's name is Wanda, that he does have five children, but the rest of this is baloney. Let me tell you who John Eckhart is based on yesterday's program, and this is just going to be a quick review, because each one of these programs that I'm doing, each one of these daily book reviews is designed just to give you a little snippet, things I want you to think about. And yesterday we talked about how John Eckhart is a fringe preacher. Fringe. F-R-I-N-G-E. Fringe. And that many times in the English language is used as an adjective to describe a person who is just way out there. You know, when someone's way out there, when someone's out of their mind. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. He's a fringe preacher. Why is he a fringe preacher? Because he's a pandemonist. A pandemonist is the kind of preacher or teacher who sees demons everywhere and blame demons for everything. William Shakespeare wrote about this kind of thinking in his play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. And there is a passage in this play in which he writes, one sees more devils than vast hell can hold. You know, hell was prepared for the devils, for the devil and his angels. But these people tend to see more devils than vast hell can hold. And that's John Eckhart, and that's his crowd. That's, that, you know, his entire group, those who are pandemonist, those who are just like him. Again, they see devils everywhere, and devils responsible for everything. So that's what we covered yesterday, and I was able to accentuate the teaching by giving you a few audio clips, and here's one of the audio clips that will refresh your memory as to what we talked about yesterday.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
When people tune in to John Eckhart's broadcast, Perfecting the Saints, on the Word Network, it must be like a Twilight Zone episode, because the guy is just as far out there as Rod Sterling. He's far out. I know John Eckhart's kind. I've encountered them all of my years in ministry, and they're just, theologically speaking, they're weirdos. Weirdos. The word fringe means the outer rim, those who lie in the outskirts, those who are way out there, like this next clip.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now again, that expresses the idea of fringe, the outer limits. And once you start thinking like Twilight Zone and like the Outer Limits, what they used to do in my day when I was a little kid, they would come with a paddy wagon and they would come with a straitjacket and they would just, you know, haul you away to Bellevue in New York City. So John Eckhart is the kind of preacher or teacher that many years ago would be taken as a patient to a mental institution. again, a pan-demonist, a person who sees demons everywhere, and they see demons being responsible for everything. Now, today, I want to talk about how John Eckhart is not a disciple of Christ. He claims to be an apostle of Christ, but if you're going to be an apostle of Christ, you need to be a disciple of Christ first. We're all disciples of Christ. We're all supposed to learn from Jesus. We're all supposed to learn from Jesus. And I can tell you that John Eckhart is not a disciple of Christ. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to tell you who is he a disciple of. But I can tell you today that he is not a disciple of Christ, because when you read the four Gospels, when you read the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, you have no samples. You have not one sample of Jesus teaching his disciples prayers that rout demons. Now, that's very important. That, my brothers and sisters, that's very important, because the disciples, who later became the apostles of Christ, they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. He taught them how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, and then, of course, he taught them how to pray in Luke 11. And then in John 17, we have a masterpiece of an example of prayer. And in all these prayers, and every time they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, as John taught his disciples, none of these prayers included prayers that rout demons. None of it. Now, if he's not a disciple of Christ, as the apostles were, and remember, he goes by the title apostle. He keeps referring to himself as apostle. Those who talk about him keep referring themselves as a, well, who are the apostles of? Well, you got to be an apostle of Christ. Well, when you read the writings of Paul, when you read the writings of Peter, Jude, and the other John, and the other apostles, when you read the entire 27 books of the New Testament, none of the apostles give us examples. There's not one. Even in the great chapter of spiritual warfare, which is Ephesians chapter 6, Paul does not give his readers any kind of prayer that looks like the prayers that John Eckhart gives believers in the book. And the reason for that is John Eckhart sees demons everywhere, responsible for everything, and Christ and his apostles taught that the devil and his demons are not everywhere, and that they're not responsible for everything. Do you know that a great many times the Bible and Christ and his apostles hold us responsible? Do you know that at the great white throne judgment, God is going to hold us, or those who didn't put their trust in Christ? Do you know that God is going to hold them responsible and not demons? Demons are responsible for very, very little. Very little. So to say that there's a demon everywhere responsible for everything is erroneous. So you cannot find among the... Now think about it, saints. Think about this for a moment. The apostles of Christ knew how important prayer was. They approached Jesus on numerous occasions and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. If routing demons was important, don't you think that Jesus would have included that in his teaching on prayer? Don't you think if praying prayers that rout demons was important, don't you think Peter would have written about it? Don't you think Paul would have written about it? Don't you think that Jude or even James, who wrote his epistle, you know, James chapter 5 has a great section on prayer. And do you know that James fails to talk about prayers that rout demons? Even the Apostle John doesn't include anything in his gospel. In the book of Revelation, he has, and there's lots of demons in Revelation. There's a whole lot of demons in the book of Revelation. John doesn't mention any prayers that rout demons. Nor does John mention anything about routing demons in his first, second, or third epistle. My brothers and sisters, we do not have one sample. And remember, you cannot claim to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. You can't claim that if you're not teaching what Jesus taught. And if you're not claiming what the first apostles taught, I'm sorry to tell you, you are not an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to play a snippet because I want you to hear how many times, apostle, I pulled up a copy of his audio book, Prayers That Rout Demons. And what we're going to do, first and foremost, is we're going to play... For today, we're going to play the introduction, which is called here in the book, the foreword. It is the foreword. We're going to play the foreword. And the foreword was written by Ruth Brown, author of Destroying the Works of Witchcraft Through Fasting and Prayer. So I want to play this for you, and I want you to see how many times she calls John Eckhart an apostle. Listen to this. This is out of the book, Prayers That Rout Demons.
This is Audible. Oasis Audio presents Prayers That Rout Demons by John Eckhart. Read for you by John Eckhart. Forward. First, I would like to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving Apostle John Eckhart such boldness and love for his people. During the years that I've known Apostle Eckhart, I found him to be a man who loves God and God's people. He's been found to be faithful to the Lord, his family, and the ministry. I've observed him increase in the revelation of God's word and knowledge of deliverance. Apostle Eckhart has never compromised or been afraid to preach the truth, whereas other pastors would not address these issues because of losing members and or money. His concern is getting God's people free.
Now, first and foremost, I want you to understand that this woman keeps calling him Apostle Eckhart, but you have to ask yourself, how an apostle of whom? Because he's not an apostle of Christ, because he teaches things Jesus never taught. That's one. Number two, he can't be an apostle of Jesus Christ, because even the apostles of Jesus Christ taught things that John Eckhart doesn't teach. So on two counts, remember that we have the great apostle of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and John Eckhart does not teach what Jesus taught, nor does John Eckhart teach what the apostles of Christ taught. He teaches something completely different. Therefore, if he's not an apostle of Christ, who is he an apostle of? Now, notice how this woman keeps referring to him as Apostle Eckhart. Now, let me just pull it back. Here it is again.
I've had many people throughout the years tell me that Apostle Eckhart has helped them in many areas of their lives. There are many testimonies throughout the United States and all over the world of people being delivered through his ministry. He has written several books and recorded several tapes and CDs that have assisted people in getting free from things that seemed hopeless. Personally, I can say that Apostle Eckhart's ministry has been a blessing to me. Apostle Eckhart has a special anointing and the wisdom to put such awesome and powerful warfare prayers together to enlighten and equip the body of Christ. This book is powerful on impact and is guaranteed to help in every area of your life. Oftentimes, people are bound by witchcraft and curses but do not know how to be free. Whereas most Christians are unaware of curses that affect their lives, Apostle Eckhart's book reveals curses and how to break the curses and bind the enemy. This book gives you the prayers that break every demonic stronghold on your life. Upon hearing these prayers, the power of God will set you free from witchcraft, curses, and idolatry, and healing will be loosed in your life. This book deals with remedies for overthrowing the powers of darkness and principalities and for breaking curses on your land. The same prayers could be used for your city. Also, these prayers will get the dark areas out of your life so that God can use you in greater ways. After breaking the curse, Apostle Eckhart teaches you how to loose blessings over yourself and your family. If you have ever desired the fire of God in your life, this book teaches you how to release the fire of the living God to preach, prophesy, heal the sick, and cast out devils. This book is a must-have for every believer. Ruth Brown, author of Destroying the Works of Witchcraft Through Fasting and Prayer.
There you have it. Now, again, how many times did you hear us say Apostle Eckhart? About 10. About 10. But who is he an apostle of? Certainly not of Christ. Now, let me show you why this is critical, why this is important. Well, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is speaking to his apostles. And he says to them in verse number 8 of Matthew 23, "Be ye not called rabbi." Rabbi is teacher. "For one is your master, even Christ. And ye are all" what? "Brethren." Now he's speaking to the apostles. He's speaking to the 12. And in speaking to them, he says, listen, you got one rabbi, you got one teacher, and that's me. You have one master, and that's me. Everything flows from me. Whatever you teach, whatever you preach. If you're my disciples, you preach what I preached and what I taught. That's very clear. Again, Matthew 23, verse 8. "Be ye not called rabbi." In other words, don't go around calling yourself master teacher, because you're not. You have one master teacher, and that is me. Therefore, we can conclude from this verse and from the remainder of the New Testament that the apostles were faithful to this word because they followed the teachings of Jesus completely. They did not stray from the teachings of Jesus. They only taught what the Master taught them. This is why when you read the four Gospels and you can't find a prayer that routs demons, you can't find one, even though they asked their master, their rabbi, they asked them, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. When you read their letters, they also do not have these kinds of prayers that John Eckhart is alluding to. Why don't they have the kind of prayers that John Eckhart alluded to? Because Jesus never taught them, and they only had one teacher and one set of teachings. Now, go with me now to the Gospel according to John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given by Moses." Now, by the law, we understand the Old Testament. There was one foundational teacher in the Old Testament. Everything that follows, the book of Joshua, the book of Judges, or 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, all the books that follow the five books of Moses are based strictly on the five books of Moses. Therefore, when John says the law was given by Moses, he's talking about the Old Testament. The five books, the Pentateuch, the Torah, as the Jews call it. Torah simply means the teachings. All of the other, remember, there are 39 books in the Old Testament, 39. The 34 that follow the five books of Moses are all based on the five books of Moses. In other words, the teachings of Moses became the template for all of the other Old Testament writers to follow. They couldn't have written something that contradicted Moses, because if they did, the books would have been rejected and would have never been put in the Old Testament as part of the canon. So notice what John says. The law was given by Moses. That's the Old Testament. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Just as Moses' teachings were the template for all following Old Testament writers to follow, so are the teachings of Christ the template. Remember, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There you have, in concise form, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, all of the subsequent books, which are 23, because there's 27 in the Old Testament, 27, excuse me, in the New Testament. If there were books that followed the four Gospels, they all had to follow. They could not stray away from the teachings of Jesus. So notice, in the Old Testament, every author after Moses is following Moses' template, for he is the principal teacher, the foundational teacher of the Old Testament, and thus in the New Testament, his counterpart is Jesus, for it is the teachings of Jesus that become a template for the other New Testament writers that followed in the teaching ministry of Jesus. So, my brothers and sisters, this is why you cannot find John Eckert's prayers in the New Testament. Why? Because he's not a disciple of Christ. He's not. He's a loon. He's a fringe preacher. He's a pan-demonist. He sees demons everywhere responsible for everything. And that was not the worldview that Jesus and his disciples held. Now, I want to play a little clip here, I want to go back. I want you to listen to Ruth Brown again.
And who loves God.
Here's Ruth Brown again. Listen to this.
This is Audible. Oasis Audio presents Prayers That Rout Demons, by John Eckhart. Read for you by John Eckhart.
Well, they're signaling me that we're out of time, so I'm going to have to stop it here. Homework assignment. Homework assignment. The same way I asked you to go to Google and type in the name Win Worley, and when you typed in the name Win Worley, and then I asked you to type in book covers, and you clicked on it, and you saw all the book covers, today I want you to type in, want you to go to Google, and I want you to type in the name Frank Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D, Frank Hammond. I want you to type in Frank Hammond, go to Google, type in his name, then type in book covers, and you will see that the books that Frank Hammond wrote are very similar to the books that Win Worley wrote. That's a homework assignment. You need to do that. And I'll come back tomorrow and I'll do part three. So what we get out of today's lesson is that John Eckhart, even though Ruth Brown keeps calling him apostle, 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 he is not an apostle. Because he doesn't teach what the apostles of Christ taught, who taught what Christ taught. Therefore, he cannot be an apostle. Therefore, he is a false apostle. I'll come back tomorrow. Love you, saints. God bless.